Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Max, and welcome to the Her Story, Her Journey podcast, where we highlight the extra that's in every woman. Guys, I'm so glad you joined us today as we spotlight Laquana Glasser, who is also known as Lady Q. Lady Q is an evangelist. She's a certified life coach. She's also the founder of Sisters of Faith, which is an organization that focuses on helping women come out of brokenness. But this woman is so much more. She's talked about being a creative. She's talked about some other projects that she's doing. And I think, as always, she would do so much better than I ever would in telling you guys who she is. So Lady Q, please tell our audience who you are.
As you already stated, I am an evangelist, a creative. I love to create art, jewelry, I paint, I write, I'm also a poet, so that's, and the founder of Sisters of Faith.
And I love that name, Sisters of Faith. Guys, she has on an awesome t-shirt. Hopefully she has it for sale, because I think I want one, because it's so pretty. She got it in pink too. But Lady Q, tell the audience what Sisters of Faith does.
Sisters of Faith is about focusing on women who have gone through brokenness and helping bringing them out of the brokenness so they don't be stuck, you know, in those areas of those broken places. So to help, God has allowed me to utilize what I've been through and gone through in my own brokenness to help other women that are broken.
That is so awesome. That is so awesome. Guys, I wish you guys can see her smile. It's just so beautiful. This is talk, but I get the pleasure of seeing it, but just this awesome radiance coming from this woman of God. Now, her story today is going to focus on when, after years of sexual molestation, which began at a very early age, at about age 4, right, Lady Q?
Yes. Yeah.
She started drinking and a little bit of drug abuse and some sexual promiscuity, right?
Right.
But then she attempted suicide when her feelings of not being enough became too much. So Lady Q, tell us about your story, please.
At a very young age, at the age of 4, I was molested. Let me backtrack a little bit. My mother was a teen mom. She had me at the age of 15. And again, I was molested at the age of 4, but I grew up in a home that had domestic violence between my mom and my stepdad. Both of them were alcoholics and drug addicts. My mom was also verbally abusive. And so those things took a toll and a weight on me that even after going through the molestation at the age of 4, was real heavy on me, was a real heavy weight that even over the molestation, my mom ended up having me put into therapy. And then after going through therapy and the weight being weighed on her, feeling as though that the doctors was looking at her a certain way, she then pulled me out of therapy. And as life continued on, growing up in a home where my mom was verbally abusive, being told that I was dumb, I was stupid, things of those natures, over time, by the age of 13, I lost my virginity. I started drinking, started smoking marijuana, and just got lost in the drinking and the promiscuity, looking for love in all the wrong places. And, you know, I just kind of just went from one guy to another guy, trying to fill the spaces that was empty in me, because I felt like, you know, somebody had abandoned me. I felt rejected. I felt thrown away. Just feeling like, you know, pretty much like I was not there. Like I was there, but I was not there. Mm-hmm. And so with that being said, eventually by the age of 20, I attempted suicide because everything was heavy and I was a single mom. And so with that being said, I just attempted trying to just end my life with the weights that was on.
And just if I could backtrack a little bit, because you and I talked a little bit about it, and know that you said that when the sexual molestation happened at 4 years old, you talked to mom about it, but it was like an elephant in the room. She never talked to you. She talked to other
No.
people. Let's talk about that.
No, she didn't talk to me. She would have conversations with family members or people that were close to her concerning the molestation that had happened to me by a family member. And so, in the process of her having these conversations with other people, it constantly felt like somebody was ripping the scab off. Again, it was that sense of, I'm here, but I'm not here, because these conversations were being had about what happened to me and how it affected her. But there was never a conversation between me and my mom, ever, until later on, years later.
So here you are with this situation that happened and unbeknown to her was still happening.
Yeah, it was like here and there. They would still happen, but the first time was the most significant time. The first time was, I can tell you what I had on. I can tell you everything that happened, what the room looked like, the fan that was on that was turned off. I can give you full detail of the first time. That one stands out the most over the other ones. The other ones are more vague, because the first one was more graphic. There was evidence left of what he was doing to me with the first one. The other ones were touches here and there. So yeah.
And you did mention something about the first one being so traumatic for you that it's like frozen in your memory, but then something happened when you were older at about 40 years old associated with that. What was that?
Yes, ma'am. Over the years, I didn't really seek counseling or anything behind it, even as I got older. And when I turned 40, when I turned 40, my husband and children were gone out of the house. And I woke up in the bed one morning, and it was as if I was paralyzed, and I was glued to the bed. And it was as if this molestation was happening all over again, as if it was the first time. So it was as if I was laying in my bed all over again. And only thing I could do was lay there and cry. But it felt like the whole thing was being done as I was 4 years old. And that was, for me, the mental and emotional break that I had in realizing that I needed help. I thought over the years that I had dealt with or processed it or prayed it away, because being in the church, we're told to pray about everything. So I thought, okay, well, I'm pray about it, and I'm just gonna keep praying about it, and I'm gonna keep praying about it. But it greatly affected my relationship with my husband as well, because of those moments and those flashes in my head that me and him was together. I could see this person that wasn't my husband. So it overshadowed a lot of our relationship, even intimately. But that moment of being 40, I realized, wait a minute, this right here should not be happening. I thought I prayed it away. And in that moment, I realized, even though I'm in church and I go to church and I love the Lord, that getting help is not obsolete. Getting help doesn't mean that I don't trust God, but that I get help.
Now, you know, it's only Wednesday and we're doing church, right? So, ladies, please pay attention to this because we've been saying this and we're going to continue to sound this clarion call. You know, God sends help in a variety of forms. Don't walk away from therapy. Don't walk away from people in human form who will be his hands and feet here to give you the help that you need. So I want to thank you, Lady Q, for like just emphasizing that. But I got to come back and segue. So here you are. You've kind of looked for love in all the wrong places and spaces. Like you said, you've tried some alcohol, some drugs to kind of shut down some of the things that you didn't feel you could do on your own without those things. And now you're a mom, right? You're 20 years old. You're a mom, single mom, because that relationship was also in the wrong place.
Yes.
Tell me what was going on, or tell me and the audience what was going on at that time that led to you thinking suicide is the answer.
Wow, I'll never forget the particular night my first attempted. I was in my house and it was empty, and I started to play over in my head all the things that I had gone through. I was in a relationship where the person had already told me that he didn't care about me. I had been in abusive, verbally abusive relationships. And then here I am in another verbally abusive relationship. And so that particular night I sat down and I drank so much alcohol that I've lost. I blacked out. But in the process, I took a whole bottle of pills that night, because I just felt like, well, what use is it? No one cares about me. No one loves me. No one's here for me. My son will be better off without me, because why would I even be? How could I even be a good mom to him with all of these issues that had been weighing on me over the years? And then not only that, I can't even keep a solid relationship. And in my relationships with men, you know, I would hear things that I heard as a child. You know, I had been called stupid. I had been called dumb, you know, and because men had walked out and had abandoned and rejected me, even leaving me and my son in a place of abandonment and rejection. I just felt like I'm done, you know, I can't handle it no more. This is too much for me. And so that night I attempted suicide and took all the pills in the bottle and drank all the alcohol that I could possibly consume. Again, I don't even, to a certain point, I blacked out. And so it was a friend that was staying with me that wasn't supposed to be in the house that night. And she came to the house that night and figured, kind of pulling out of me what was happening, that she literally force fed me to make me regurgitate everything that she could. And I woke up the next day laying in the floor trying to figure out, God, why am I here? Because I asked the question, why am I here? And I even prayed the prayer, Lord, just let me die. Like, there's no use or no purpose for me here. And so after that, multiple times, I attempted suicide as well. It wasn't just the one time. It was multiple times after that, because it just seemed like everything continued to get worse. And love was not presenting itself. And I felt like I was a failure as a person, as a woman, as a mom. I just was like, life was not worth it. And, you know, I was going to church. I was at church all the time. And and I would hear again, you know, pray about it. But when you're young and you're facing these things and you are carrying the weight of things that as a young adult, you shouldn't have had to endure. How do I pray those things away? What do I pray for? What does that look like? And I didn't know, no one took the time to walk me through that process, but just pray about it. Or that's the enemy. All you have to do is pray about it. But what does that mean? Because I felt in that moment that I was the enemy. You know, I just, because of the rejection and the abandonment, then I wasn't a good fit to be around the people that I was around. So it was just better for me to give up on life and for me to say, God, I don't want to live anymore. I don't want to be here anymore. You know, no one really cares about me. You know, my mom will take care of my son. Somebody else will take care of my son, because I'm not a good fit for him. And so in that journey of the multiple times of committing suicide, you would think I would have learned the first time, the second time. And it took for
I'm
the
gonna say,
same,
but God.
but God, but
Okay.
God. Yes, ma'am. It took for a friend of mine to actually look me in the eye one night after another attempt. And this is the same friend that said to me, you know, look at what you've gone through and look at the mother you truly have become, because she was able to see some things in me that, at that moment that I didn't see in myself. And she said, who would you really want to raise your son? And it made me stop. I said, what do you mean? She said, who would you want to raise your son with all that you know? And in that moment, I realized, wait a minute. If I leave my son, no one can replace his mother. Regardless of all the things that I had done and decisions I had made through the years, who could really love him like I love him? Who could give him in what my life was where it lacked, the love that lacked in my life? You know, am I going to abandon him? And am I going to reject him? Am I going to place on him the same things that I already felt? And that was the pause in that moment in my life. That's what made me pause and say, wait a minute, what are you doing? What about him? It wasn't the prayer. It wasn't, okay, God, remove all of these things. It was the, I saw the little girl and looking at my son who was the little boy. Did I want him to feel rejection, abandoned, thrown away? You know, did I want him to grow up and say, my mom didn't love me enough to stay for me? I didn't want him to feel any of those things. And that was my pause. That was my, wait a minute. You can do this differently. You could go about this a different route, you know. But, you know, again, over the years, I still didn't see therapy. I still didn't go to therapy because obviously we grow up in this community of therapy's not for us.
And you know we need it. And
exactly.
We'll benefit from it, right?
We will. We definitely will. But when you grow up in it, definitely in the church that says the two don't mix.
Right.
God and therapy don't mix. So
right.
I said, okay, well, I'm just going to keep praying and I'm going to keep trusting God. And so I found other things to put my time into. You know, I am a praise dancer as well. So I would say praise dancing was one of the things that saved my life. I danced and I would dance by myself, just me and God. And that was where I learned to find a sense of solace and peace was through praise there.
And that tied into you being a creative, as you've mentioned,
yes.
Right? Because that was your creativity. Who you know you were designed to be showed up and met him.
Yes, definitely. And I've always been a writer. So poetry has been in me since a little bitty girl. I've always written, so I would write. But in writing, and those moments would make me the most emotional. Pen to paper would make me cry and cry and cry, you know, and I'm like, okay, God, I'm like, what do I do? And so from that, like I said, I would go into dancing. I would just dance and dance and dance and say, okay, God, I know that there's another way. And I know that, you know, this is, you have me here for a reason and a purpose. I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know why I've had to go through all of these things, but God, you know why. And so because you know why, I'm just going to trust that you are going to fix it for me because I can't fix it. And so over the years of still running from therapy, once I had the break, at 40 and reliving 4 years old all over again, the four-year-old, I had a flood of the molestation. I had a flood of remembering the alcoholism and the drugs and the bad relationships. And it began to weigh on me that I said, okay, I'm in a place in my life that, Lord, I've trusted you. I have prayed. And even in that moment, I was actually ready to give up on life again. I just wanted, And I had got up and I had even prayed then, Lord, just take my life. I know I didn't come from 4 to 40 to relive this all over again as a wife now, with children and things of that nature. And then that eventually led into, you know, I need to go to therapy. And so from there, I went into trauma therapy, mm-hmm. which has been the most scariest experience. Was experiencing trauma therapy because I had to deal with things head on and learning that we tell ourselves things that become a reality, that when it becomes this reality, it affects us greatly in how we engage people. And so in trauma therapy, I did a lot of crying. I did a lot of soul searching, but I did a lot of releasing. I did a lot of
healing.
Yes, ma'am. I came to a breakthrough and healing in the whole process of everything. God brought me through everything to show me there was a purpose for what I've had to go through.
And Lady Q, I can't help but pay attention to the number 40.
Yes, ma'am.
And that was the beginning of the healing at that 40. Because you know he would use those for that number 40 and bring meaning to it.
It was a 40 was a transition for me.
Yes.
40 it was does. Like a rebirthing.
Mm-hmm.
40 was my rebirthing process.
Yes. And I just, you know, because of the way he will take us through that, 40 is very symbolic in the Bible. You know, I'm just looking at the symbolism for you also.
Wow.
So now.
Wow. I hadn't thought about that.
Oh, yeah. The minute you said 40, I just did a little praise. So now, I want to talk to you a little bit about the experiences that you've been through. Looking back on it, right? Is this strong, beautiful, just chocolate woman, y'all, sitting in front of me. And as you look behind, right, what are some ways that going through that experience has showed you that you're stronger than you thought?
Ooh. Coming out, first and foremost, realizing that nothing lasts always. It's only temporary. So in that process, I've learned that we will go through things in life, but it's only a temporary thing that we'll go through, that there's always an out. We'll eventually get to that point where we'll come out. And that for me was strengthening for me. Philippians 4:13 is my favorite scripture. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That means how bad it gets, as long as I stay focused on Christ, I can do it. I can come out of it. I can endure it. It has been like my key scripture for my life because I realized in me, I felt like I couldn't do it. I can't do this and I'm not able to do that. But Philippians 4:13 has been my light when I'm in a dark space. No, you can do this. You have the ability to do this because you are a child of God, because God has created you fearfully and wonderfully, and he's made you for a reason and for a purpose. You can do this regardless of what other people have to say about you. God has already placed it in me before the foundation of the world that I'm able and capable and I can do this. And that has been like what I hold on to get through.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So, you know, as I'm listening to that and the spirit of faith and hope, and how when you tie those like a rescue rope around your waist, no matter how high the waves come, they will always, that faith and hope will always pull you back to shore, right? So awesome, awesome.
Yes, yes. Listen, you're opening up some things for me right now.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I love it. I love it when that extra shows up for us as women, when this world tries to take us under and we realize we're much stronger than we thought. So recognizing where the source of the strength is and how to anchor yourself into that so that you always, no matter how far out in that deep water you get, that anchor will hold you steady and pull you back.
Yes, always. And I trust God for it.
My next question is, if you could look back and change something, if anything, what would that be?
Honestly, I don't think I would change anything. And the reason why I say I don't think I would change anything is because I wouldn't be who I am today if I changed any piece of anything that I've done. To live in a place of regret is to be stuck in the past. So I refuse to be stuck in the past, but to take everything that I've gone through and use them as stepping stones to elevate me to the next level. But because of all that I've been through, I'm an example for another woman that's going through, or another young girl that's currently in the process that may be going through the same thing. So I wouldn't change anything. Nothing.
This is you saying my mess is a message, so I can't change anything, right?
Yes.
I can't change anything because this is what my mess did. It formed my message so another woman can hear it. So awesome, awesome, awesome. Now, you know, I'm all about self-care.
Yes.
And staying balanced. And I've listened to the evangelist. I've listened to the creative, right? I've listened to this woman who have said, I have founded this organization to go back for my sisters who are struggling and to also then feed myself. So I've listened to all of that. But my question to you is, in the midst of that, Lady Q, how are you practicing self-care?
Self-care for me is, that's like my one-on-one time with God. So I love the beach. I go to the beach and I sit at the beach. And I bask in the sun and go play in the water, learning to just, you know, smile and laugh. But journaling is like one of the greatest things that I do. I also journal. I journal everything because journaling allows me to see where I was, where I am, and where I'm going. So I journal about where I was. I journal about the moment and where I am, but also in that journaling, where do I plan to go from here? And so I do that. Also periodically, I will go to a hotel 2 days. I spend three days and two nights in a hotel. And honestly, I'll take, and this is something that I, you know, the first night I'll take a sticky pad and I'll write down whatever I'm going through or processing in that moment, and I'll write it all down and I categorize all my sticky notes on the mirror in the hotel. And I take a step back and I look at my present life and the decisions that I've made and look at the decisions that I need to make and setting goals for me and my life in whatever area that may be in that moment, whether it's family, ministry, whether it's just my me time by myself, if I've lacked in spending time with myself, because we need that. And that's the first night. And then the second night, I look at everything and I pray and I give it to God. Lord, these are the decisions that I've made, but your plans is greater than mine. And I give it to God. And then the next one, I just relax. Because once I go through the process, I take everything down, I put it in a book, and I date that book, that journal, and that following day, I just sit after I done let all of that go, and I just me and God, and I just relax. So those are typically the things that I do.
I love it. I love it. Listen, I thought I was one of those people that would just be telling my husband and my kids, listen, I'm going to take a night in a hotel, and I'm just going to pretend that I don't have anything to think about but me. And that is huge in terms of self-care for me. So, you know, I love to know that there's kindred sisters out there that are like, I don't need a special moment to unplug and go pamper myself. The fact that I'm in the moment has made that moment special. So I absolutely love it. Absolutely love it.
Correct.
So as we're wrapping up, Lady Q, for the women that are listening, and it could be men too, but for the women who are listening, what's one thing that you would share with her to remind her of who she is in God?
Oh, wow. Wow. I would tell her to know that she is fearfully and wonderfully made, and that she is more than enough. Mm-hmm. If I could share that, that's what that would be, to know, not just say it, but to know inside of her and every fiber of her being that God created her unique to who she is, fearfully and wonderfully.
So, yeah. Amazing. Amazing. And the distinction between knowing in the head and knowing in your heart.
Exactly. You have to live it. It has
to go down there.
You have to live it, because this walk is, it can be rough, and we experience, mm-hmm. you know, different things. And I know, you know, I kind of shared with you earlier, and I don't want to forget to share this, because this is a lot of times, this is the unspoken part, you know, that even in this process where God has me, how I've grown and I've gone through therapy, you know, it doesn't mean that I don't still have struggles. You know, I would, you know, be wrong to say that I don't. And understanding that even I oftentimes concern myself about my mother, who have endured this process with me, that I find myself at a crossroads. So that's my journey now. My next journey is dealing with the crossroads of not carrying someone else, but just getting full, complete healing.
Well, amen. I absolutely love it. I can't wait. You know, I'm going to have you back, right? So,
of course.
Lady Q, awesome, awesome woman of God. For the sister out there who says, I just want to hold and touch and agree with her, I just want a way to contact this woman of God. I want to know where Sisters of the Faith, how do I join? How do I get help? How do I connect? How do I pray? How do they get in touch with you?
My Facebook page is Lady Q. That way, or my website is www.sistersofaithwm.org.
Awesome. And Lady Q, will you also tell them about the panel that you're going to be on coming up?
Yes, there's a panel definitely coming up where we're going to share about the things that we've encountered in throughout life, some of us dealing with suicide, whatever our story is, and we would love for you to join us.
Yeah. What she's talking about, guys, is, you know, Lady Q is going to be a part of the panel of awesome people who's going to be on the Glow 365 show that's hosted by Mia Allman, who's also the founder of KUO Magazine. That show is scheduled for Tuesday, May 10th, the 17th, and the 24th. And we are all going to be working to bring about awareness about mental illness and the story of surviving suicide attempts. We've already interviewed several of the members of the panel. We have interviewed Don Hewitt. We still had Maria Rian Mixon, and also Ruby Mary. We're also going to be joined by myself here, Dr. Max, and a grief recovery specialist and a soul therapist. And guys, I would be remiss if I don't remind you, one, of how amazing you are, how much you're loved, how much divine purpose and value you have. So if you're struggling like that, please reach out to someone. I promise you, in this world of over 7 billion people, someone cares. And just so you also can reach out to the Suicide Prevention Hotline, and the number is 1-800-273-8255. You have awesome people who have set aside their time just to remind you just how valuable you are and just how much you're loved. Well, guys, as much as I've been enjoying this interview with Lady Q, we are wrapping up, and you guys know just how much I love featuring the extra that shows up when we women are challenged in our ordinary lives. So I want to thank you guys for joining us on this episode of the Her Story, Her Journey podcast. And I'm Dr. Max. And if you want to share your story, or you know a woman who would like to, please send me a DM on Instagram at herstory.herjourney. That's herstory.herjourney. And guys, as always, remember 2 Corinthians verse 10, for when I am weak, then I am is strong.